Summit County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
The story is true.
Summit County Justice Files.
The stories are all true on the Summit County Justice Files. Welcome to yet another episode. It's your dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93, and I'm here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we are here to inform and to educate and engage with our community.
Yeah, maybe we should say we hope to inform, educate.
We hope to. Yeah. What do you take away from it? It's up to you.
You know, in between the laughs, right? Yeah. In between. But before we get started, Tom, let's just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity, the lessons learned, and yes, more than just a few minutes of law enforcement levity, because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless, of course, it was a crime of bad jokes, a crime of which we are frequently accused.
Oh, gosh.
Let's start it out. A resident living near a construction site heard a lot of commotion and people yelling for help. He reported that it appeared something had fallen on a worker and he was injured. And we have a 911 call to play for you.
Summit County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
There is a couple of guys working in construction, and there was an accident.
Okay.
But something fell on him, like.
Is he stuck underneath it?
Yeah, something fell, but there is a machine trying to remove like a pole or something. But he's in pain. He's asking for help.
Are you with the patient now?
No, I'm using it in my apartment, but I'm seeing from the balcony.
And I just have to clarify, is he stuck underneath something?
He was, but the machine removed that item that was on him, but he's now in pain and on the floor.
Okay, so he's not stuck under anything anymore, is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, is there somebody that can wave down the paramedics and just point them in the right direction?
Yeah.
Construction site accident.
Yeah, those can be scary.
Yeah, absolutely. When you got some heavy equipment falling on people.
Yeah, you know, usually, we occasionally get the falling off the ladder, falling off scaffolding, you know, right. Falling off our roof.
Uh-huh.
You know, especially these metal roofs that we put on houses here in Summit County.
Oh, right.
This turned out to be like a large piece of metal that had fallen on this guy and squished him.
Oof.
That took a bulldozer to push off him.
Wow.
So they got it off him. He obviously was in pretty bad shape by the time the deputies got there and, fire and EMS. And they were able to cart him out of the hospital. Good news is he lived.
I don't know what
his condition is. But scary stuff, these construction sites.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not like there's ice or anything outside.
No, it's perfect weather.
It's perfect weather.
Just weird things can
Hot
happen.
Hot weather.
Yeah. Let's talk about this water assist. A deputy patrolling the Dillon Reservoir observed a couple of adults on stand-up paddle boards. The woman had a personal flotation device strapped to her board, but the man didn't have one at all. And when the man noticed the deputy, he quickly paddled to the shore and ran into the trees to hide. Did you find it?
No, but I thought it was funny when I read it. I thought, oh my God, so here's two people one in violation of the law, one not. I mean, it's crazy that the law even says that as long as you have it strapped to your board, it's fine. But maybe not in Lake Dillon when it's freezing cold and now you're in the water and you're trying to get that thing off your board.
It's not going to do you much good when you're struggling to get that off the board.
No, but as in every week during the summer you and I talk about, I mean, this is like our main focus of PFDs and education, other than, you know, pulling people out of the water when a microburst comes over the lake, or people in today's lake, run their ships ashore in the middle of the lake that didn't know there was an island there in the middle of the lake because there wasn't last year.
There's some low water to deal with this year.
Really low water.
Yeah.
But I thought, how classic, like two people are paddleboarding, you and I are paddleboarding next to each other, and I go, I'm out of here, Tom. And I head for shore because I see the ranger going after you, and I just hightail it into the trees and get lost in the forest because I don't want a ticket.
Jeez.
So, yeah, we never found him.
That's one way to get out of a ticket.
And, of course, she denied the, I don't know who that is.
No idea. I mean, he's my ride home, but I have no idea.
Yeah, we
who
came
is.
Together. We lived together, but I don't know who he is. So, yeah, no, but she was educated on.
Good.
For her friend, for the guy she didn't know that she was paddleboarding with, that ran into the only thing that would have been funnier is if he was naked and ran into the forest.
That would have been really
good. That would have been funnier.
Yes. Would have been. Just a reminder, if you're doing any water recreating, wear a personal flotation device, especially on Lake Dillon or any high country alpine lakes.
Oh, my gosh.
It's critical.
Critical.
We want you to come home alive.
Yeah, rafting, boating, all of it, right?
Yeah, all of that. There was a pair of young campers that called 911 after hearing suspicious noises and cracking in the woods near their campsite. They were scared and wanted a deputy to check the surrounding area for any threats.
Yeah, I only wish we had the audio on this one. Could you imagine? Ooh. This was a group of young women camping out in the forest, and it's the middle of the night, and they're hearing, you know, branches breaking and leaves crackling, and I'm sure it was probably a bear looking for food, but by the time the deputies got there and they were all huddled in their tent scared to death, whatever it was gone.
No Bigfoot sightings?
No, it was too dark there in the forest, but I wonder how long after the deputy left that they just packed their stuff and left. You're like, okay, right. This sounded like a good idea.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of scared now.
I think I want to go home.
I want to go home.
Well, there was a violation of a restraining order. There was an intoxicated woman who called 911 when she found herself stranded at a friend's house and wanted to go home.
I'm going to have you sign your paperwork and you're going to go to home. Why, what are you thinking?
You fucking give me more fucking time, you fucking people in the chat. Why didn't I ask you for home? Why? Open this fucking door!
We'll see how you're coming down.
Open this fucking door! Open it!
So once I finish this paperwork...
Open this fucking door, I swear to God.
Will you comply with us so we can get you to your house?
They're just trying to take her home.
She's trying to get out of the car.
Yes.
Okay.
But she's going crazy inside the car, so they don't want to open it and let her out.
We discuss is going to be reported.
Open this fucking door.
Are you going to be cooperative? So it's either you go peacefully. It's either you go peacefully to your house. Is that going to happen? Are you going to be cooperative?
What's that? I called you for help.
So it's either a yes or a no.
I called you for help and this is what you did to me? What do you think I feel like?
It's either a yes or a no. It's either we get you home.
Such restraint.
So you can sleep here tonight. Or if you're uncooperative, I'm going to have to take you to jail.
Now, what would you choose, Tom?
This is something that we can handle
home
right now.
Or jail?
And you can... 14. I'll give you my business card. We're dealing with right here, right now. And I'll give you your paperwork, and then you can go to bed. Does that sound like a plan? Does that work for you?
Yeah.
So, yep. So this is a summons to court, okay? And you're being charged with violation of that protection order. Correct. Would you like to sign this? Okay, I'm going to write refuse to sign for you, okay?
Yeah, don't give her a pen.
Okay. Oh, so here's what's going to happen. If I open this door and you're physical in any way, we will be putting you in handcuffs and taking you to jail. Otherwise, I'm going to give you your paperwork and you're going to go to bed. What would you prefer? So I'm going to give you this paperwork.
Seemingly simple choices.
If you are violent towards us, you will be going to jail. Here's your paperwork.
My fucking paperwork.
Okay, well, I'm gonna put it in your mailbox then. So, I want you to step on up. If you have any complaints, you can call the sheriff's office.
So far, so good.
Why don't you help out? You're free to go. If you come at me aggressively, I will be putting you in handcuffs.
Did I hit you with anything?
No, but you are throwing stuff and acting erratic. Okay? I'll give you one more chance to take your paperwork.
Yeah. Can you shoot me, bro?
No. Here's your paperwork. Go to bed.
Oh, it's a taser?
Go to bed.
And here's then your
paperwork. You're shoot me, bro.
And then what?
Okay. That's it. That's it. Now we are going to jail because you are not listening.
Now we're going to jail.
You see what happens? I tried to be cooperative with you. I tried to give you the benefit of the doubt. And here we are. Throwing shit at us. Threatening us. Yeah, and I gave you every opportunity to talk to me. I gave you every opportunity to go to bed. Instead, we're booking you in jail, okay? Tried to be reasonable with you. Yep, and now you're going to jail because of your actions. So, hop in. I'm sorry, can you say that again? I couldn't hear you. Like I said, you kept approaching us aggressively. You're acting erratically. We told you, we gave you warnings, told you to go to bed. Instead, you weren't. So, here we are.
Okay. So, what's more dangerous, an intoxicated woman in the back seat of the car or a bear locked in a car? I don't want to tip our hand to what's coming up.
Is there a difference?
I think I'd take my chances with the bear.
Oh, my. Yeah, I think I'd take the chances with the bear.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, obviously, the audio gave it all away. I mean, this God bless this deputy, gave her a million warnings.
Totally.
About you can just go in your house and go to bed, but if you come at me aggressively, you're going to jail. And he opened that door, and she came at him.
Like I said, the bear probably would have just ran away. Would have been fine. But no, people are way different.
You know, the way the deputy described it is, you know, when they picked her up from this house to give her a ride home, she went home with somebody and decided she wanted to go home. And they came and got her out of that house. And they said that she progressively, like in the drive, like it was apparent to them that maybe there was something else on board, because she apparently just became more and more intoxicated and more unreasonable, to the point where, I mean, they were literally going to get in her house and get her situated, and she could have just slept it off, and she decided to... I think when they, you know, before they put her in the car, of course, you know, you get searched and they run you and make sure, you know, you're not a wanted murderer or something like that. And it turns out, of course, she had a protection order that prohibited her from consuming alcohol.
Oopsie.
So they were just going to write her a ticket for it.
Okay.
And still send
her
home.
She could have been on her way.
Yeah, go to bed. Yeah. Here's a ticket.
Right.
Deal with the ticket later. When you sober up, you'll get the ticket and go, oh, God. But... As we have talked about many times before, most things that begin with drugs or alcohol never end well.
And this did not end well.
This did not end well.
Oh, man.
No.
Wow. Well,
okay.
Hopefully in the future, she'll reassess her options.
You know, usually people that violate restraining orders like this, they continue to violate. You know
is that
mean?
Right?
Like when you say in the future, it's like, this is the future.
This will probably be happening again.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Something to look forward to on a future episode of the Justice Files. Well, obviously the fire danger in all of Colorado has been extreme. And over the course of the week, deputies received dozens of reports of potentially illegal campfires. From the campgrounds around the Dillon Reservoir to Peru Creek Road, the area of Quandary Peak, and all the way up into Heaney on Green Mountain Reservoir.
Dispatch.
Listen, I'm just leaving the Peak One campground over in Frisco and off Loop B between one of those sites. I think it's, I'm not sure what the number was, but there's a group having an open campfire. and just figured I'd let you know. They weren't interested in putting it out either.
Gotcha. Off of Groot. You said it was in B Loop?
B Loop, that's correct.
Gotcha.
Dispatched.
Hey, I'd like to report a fire.
Where at?
Like a campfire. Mm-hmm. It's up Macaulay Gulch Road. It's at site number 7.
I'm calling to report a party camped at the McCullough Gulch Forest Service dispersed campsites that has an active campfire burning at their site. I believe it's site number 6. That's that Forest Service Road kind of off by the Mount Quandary trailhead. They're in the dispersed campsites on McCullough Gulch Road near the start of the Wheeler Trail, if you're familiar with that trailhead. It's in between the Wheeler Trail and the old Quandary trailhead.
We don't want campfires
no.
in any way, shape, or form unless no. they have an off switch.
Unless they have a switch.
Really don't have that no. unless you've got something very special that we don't know about.
No, and you know, as you know, Tom, we've been in restrictions since June 21st. And we have, you know, we, during this time when we have these restrictions, we track all of these fire calls. So far, since June 21st, we've responded to 73 calls regarding a fire during
73 calls
since June 21st. 17 of those were smoke sightings. One was a confirmed fire, that one we just had at Black Lakes. 40 of them were campfires. 11 people got issued citations. So out of those, 11 people were violating the restrictions. And then we responded to some other weird restriction ones like welding and smoking. But you know, what's really interesting about, there's a couple things that are interesting about this. Well, as you said, this season, we're in the ring of fire currently in Summit County. Mm-hmm. We're surrounded by fire. I think people are taking it more serious. You know, there's people calling on their neighbors, their fellow campers, their, but you know, what I have found interesting, and when you started off with about, hey, as long as it has an on and off switch, which we do support and encourage, but you would be amazed at how now these propane-fueled devices mm-hmm. are evolving. Like, oh, we're getting yeah. elaborate.
Huge.
Oh, my God.
Oh, absolutely massive.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, you think about little camp stoves.
Right.
And now you're talking about huge, elaborate fireplaces that are all, we get there, and it's like, oh, no, sir, it's propane. It's on off. It's crazy.
Well, just going through River Run Village at Keystone, you can see the bonfires.
The big ones.
The big ones that are set up in the stone
yeah.
pits. And they have big iron
yeah.
castings that the fire comes around. And I mean, those are big.
People are dragging those in their campers now.
See, that's just it. I mean, they have off switches, but holy cow. I mean, how big do you want to go?
Well, I mean, people, can we just?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Crazy.
Extreme fire danger.
Extreme. Please help us.
Yeah.
Help us help you.
Let's all stay safe this summer. Speaking of fires, there was a structure fire. Residents in unincorporated Breckenridge accidentally left a propane heater on that was located on their porch when they went to bed. And a few hours later, they woke up, their fire alarm went off, and they found flames on their roof.
Summit County 911, what's the address of the emergency?
Hello,
this is Summit County 911. What's the address of the emergency?
Our house is on fire.
Yes. Are there flames? Okay, where are the flames coming from?
The roof.
Okay.
Flames are coming from the flames.
We're getting started right now. Okay, what many people are in the
from
home?
From fire.
Two.
Okay, I need everybody to get out of the home, okay? Including any
Okay.
Pets.
Okay.
Are you guys evacuating now?
Dispatcher's like, I don't hear any people running.
Okay, I need you to get your husband and get out of the house.
We wanna put the hose on it.
I want you to get out of the house. We have the fire department. I want you to be safe. I want you and your husband to get out of the house.
Hey, Tom, this is like
right
a
now.
Real fire.
Yeah.
Like, it's on fire. And her husband's trying to squirt it with a hose.
Oh, my.
Could you know? Could you know? Okay.
I have fire and law en route to you right now, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. You're welcome. How close is there? Is there trees or any other houses close enough to catch?
I don't know. It's on the very peak of the house at the back. At the peak of the house, there's trees behind.
Please.
But it's far away.
Please.
Okay.
But no, you can't go in there. He's trying to put the hose. No, Creed, stay. He's trying to put the hose on.
Okay, is he outside of the house?
He just went back in.
Okay, I don't want you to go back in and put yourself in danger. Okay. I have an officer coming around that first big bend on Blue Ridge. Let me know if you see your husband exit the house, okay?
Okay.
See the officer?
She doesn't seem so concerned, does she? Like, oh, right. All of you. He's in there, but
here now.
If he doesn't come out.
Okay. All right, I'm going to let you go, okay?
Okay.
Well, that's not the way you want to wake up in the middle of the night with your house on fire.
And for being woken up in the night with your house on fire, again, just this calm, like, oh, yeah, he went back in there. Oh, yeah, the house is on fire. It's like, the house was, you know, this is a couple tours down from one of our deputies that took some photos. And, I mean, this thing was torched. I mean, it was torching. As it said, it was one of these heat propane heaters that they had up under the eave, and it caught fire, and then it just spread into the house. But,
even if it does have an off switch,
it's still dangerous.
You still got to use the off switch.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Oops, I left that on and went to bed.
Oops.
They got there. The fire department got there. Deputies got there first. It's cool technology, as you heard with the dispatch, that they can see, like, hey, the officer's right around the corner. He'll be there any second. And they got that fire out, and they did find the husband. He was okay. But, boy, folks, don't run back into fires.
Mm-mm. Not at all. Even if you have a hose full of water and you want to try to help, sometimes it's just out of your hands.
Yeah. Although it looks good on TV and in the movies, a hose is not going to put out a house raging on fire.
Not going to work. Let the pros do it.
Let the pros do it.
Yeah.
With a lot of water.
Better yet, use the off switch.
Oh, whoa. That's...
Yes. Well, a little earlier, I kind of alluded to this next item that a bear was found trapped in a vehicle overnight by the vehicle owner who called on deputies for help. The bear had caused significant damage to the interior of the car, but the bear appeared content while he was inside. We have body cam audio from this instance.
And a funny deputy.
I'm surprised he's still in here. They're usually really mad when they get out. Is that you guys' car? Oh, man. Give me a second and we'll get him out.
This is the deputy.
Yeah.
He's excited.
You have full coverage insurance. What's that? Yeah.
Meanwhile, the bear is tearing up the inside.
Well, we don't have grizzlies up here. They're not like super aggressive, but they do
silver
get
lining.
Pissy in situations like this. Oh, he's a kid. So what I'm gonna do is pull this open. That yellow thing is a pepper ball launcher, so it won't hurt the bear, but it'll like skitter it off if it won't get out on its own. Do you have another car out here or something?
Yeah.
Do the keys to that. If you want to hop in it, you're welcome to watch. I just don't want it to rush at one of you. So, or yeah, on that patio is fine as long as you can get inside. All right, everybody up there? Come on, big fella. Auntie. Come on out.
You got to smooch it out,
good
right?
So he's like 8 or 9 months old, probably. Yeah, no worries. I wonder how... He might have been in here a while.
They said they heard him at 4 in the morning honking the horn. My wife walked outside and she's like, I heard something honking.
I mean, if you're going to get a car totaled, it's like one of the cooler ways to get a car.
I agree.
Try to make them feel better somehow, right? Silver lining is, A, it wasn't a grizzly.
Yeah.
And B, hey, if you're going to have your car totaled.
And hey, the bear got out and didn't start throwing things at the deputy.
And we've got a video for a memento for you.
Awesome.
So you can always remember the bear that destroyed your car on vacation in Breckenridge.
So if the insurance company has any questions at all.
Yeah, they can watch it.
Yeah, they can see the whole thing for themselves.
Yeah, we posted that video, and it, you know, like most of these animal videos, it went viral.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a great idea with the deputy to go tie that rope to the handle and get way away and just pull that thing open.
Uh-huh.
But I like how he says, hey, if you guys want to watch.
Yeah, get in your car.
Get in your car and watch. This should be cool.
Oh, we always have fun with our wildlife here in the high country. Let's talk about a motorist assist. A group of off-roaders found themselves stuck in their rental truck in the area of Georgia Pass, and they were unable to go any further. The occupants were able to walk all the way to Good Times, and employees called help for them.
We're at Good Times out on Tiger Road, and we had someone just knocking our door saying that their truck's broken down, and so they're currently walking to the public lot on Tiger Road and just wanted to get them some help.
Okay, do you know what kind of vehicle they have broken down?
No, they said a truck and then asked us for a ride, and I said, no, we're not doing that. So I didn't get a whole lot more information.
And did he seem like drunk or impaired on drugs?
No, not at all.
Okay, and he was walking down Tiger, is that right?
Exactly. I think they broke down probably like up on the South Fork, and they're just heading back towards town. And I told them I couldn't give them a ride, but I could call the sheriff's department, and they would meet him at like the parking lots on the way out.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much for the phone call. I'll send an officer.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
So how did they get stuck in their rental vehicle? Did they just get into
muddy
some terrain?
There's parts up there that are really swampy.
Right.
But you know what's interesting is that, you know, what our listeners should know is, Good Times, this employee housing there, I mean, this is like a regular occurrence. So where the guy's like, yeah, we're not going to do that,
and right.
And yeah, they walk towards town. It's like, this is the same drill we go over this night after night. And all I can think about is those scary movies where really bad things happen, and you think like, oh, it's probably just another stuck motorist knocking on the door,
right. Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's Jason, you know what I mean? Gonna kill everybody there.
What's really unique about their location is that they have visitors year round.
Oh, yes.
People get stuck there in the wintertime, going totally off-road and not knowing where they are.
And if you don't know it, I mean, South Fork, I mean, where they walked from to Good Times is far through some crazy terrain.
Yeah.
And then when he said, yeah, they just started walking towards town, from Good Times to town is not close.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure they were intercepted on the way into town.
They were
and
intercepted.
Taken care of.
Yeah, and then we hooked them up with an off-road recovery to get their vehicle out. But, boy, I'll tell you what, there's a reason to get insurance when you rent your car, right?
Oh, yeah.
And follow Google Maps and says, yeah, this is a good idea. It's a dirt. Just drive it. It's a dirt road. And someone in your car is encouraging you. Yeah, yeah, keep going,
yeah, keep
man.
Going, keep going. Going. Yeah, yeah,
we're
yeah.
good.
No, it gets better
up
ahead.
It's a rental car. Don't worry. Yeah, but it's my rental car.
The most durable car on the planet, a rental car.
They make them different. Soon we're going to see those self-driving cars up there, you know?
Oh, boy.
Wait,
and there won't be anybody in them.
There won't be anyone.
They'll just drive themselves up there and get stuck.
That's what we're going to wish we had video, Tom.
That's
what we're going to have to evolve.
By then, we will evolve and we'll have video by then. Let's talk about a fraud item. An unincorporated Breckenridge man reported being blackmailed over nude photos that he sent to an unknown user that he didn't know personally.
Do.
Yeah. Apparently, they found each other on Snapchat. The user then started demanding money and threatened to share the man's photos if he didn't pay.
Yeah, this is that same old scam we talk about all the time. That people can... I'm kind of becoming amazed at how many people send nude photos of themselves to anonymous people on the internet. But hey, whatever floats your boat, right? Whatever gets you going.
All these instances, I try to put myself in these people's boots, And I'm thinking, it's like, really? You're threatening to spread nude photos of me on the internet?
Go ahead.
Good luck with that.
Go ahead.
Go right ahead. Have fun. Knock yourself out. Jeez, nobody wants to see that. Believe me.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so the deputies, you know, called this phone number back. The person didn't speak very good English and quickly hung up when they realized it was law enforcement. And not that the guy with the pics sending them around wanted to go any further with it, but there would have been no, as we talk about all the time, there would have been no further to go with it anyways, because these things are always offshore, some other country. The big clue is when they don't speak. The big clue is when you think you're sending to a woman and you're talking to a guy.
Right. Yeah.
And that doesn't speak English.
They're everywhere.
Oh, stop sending pictures.
Yeah, especially nude photos. Really, nobody wants to see your junk. Jeez, really. There was an Airbnb renter that became alarmed when an unknown man came to the residence claiming that he was hired to do some work at the property. The man was upset when the renter wouldn't let him in, informing her that he had driven 2 hours to get there.
911, what is the address of the emergency?
We're in an Airbnb.
Okay, tell me exactly what happened.
We're in our home right now, and this guy came to the door saying he was here too. He's still in our driveway. He came here saying he was here to repair something. To repair something in our home. And we were like, no, we'll have it rescheduled later. And then he was like, no, the owner told me to come in here. And we're like, no, he would never schedule anything while we're here. And then the guy tried to say that his car broke down and he's still in our driveway trying to fix it. And he doesn't even speak English. Like, it's very alarming. He's still in our driveway.
Okay, did you lock all the doors?
Yeah, our garage door was shut when we got home. Like, it's been shut this morning, and when we just opened it to check, our garage door is open. And we need someone to come right away. I just think it's alarming. He said he drove 2 hours to come fix something in our home when we wouldn't have let him in, obviously. Hey, he's leaving. Get the license plate. He was speaking, like, broken English, like Russian. So, I'm going to try to call the Airbnb person, but I can't imagine they would schedule a repair while a guest is here, like, without telling us. So, I'm just going to try to figure out if, like, why he would have, or how he would have opened her garage door.
Yeah, I did dispatch an officer. I'm not sure what their ETA is to get up there, but I've given them all the information you provided me, okay?
Wow, das vidanya, comrade.
You know, as you can tell in her voice, these things are terrifying.
She sounds absolutely horrified.
Terrified.
Yeah.
These are one of these ones where we should ask, like, true or not true? What was it? Was it a bad guy or a good guy? This actually turned out to be someone that the owners of the house did schedule during a rental. And when they finally got a hold of the owners of the house, that's what they told them, saying, oh, my God, yes, we forgot to tell you. To which her question was a legit one, like, who schedules a repair man while you have renters?
Right.
Yeah, so they were legitimately terrified. We tracked down both the homeowners and the bad guys and found out the bad guys really were repairmen, and it really was a scheduled repair. And they couldn't understand why the renter, in their deep Russian accent, didn't believe them.
So they weren't Russian spies after all.
No, Russian repairmen.
All right.
Terrifying nonetheless.
Yeah, well, yeah, they can be very scary, especially if you don't know that they're coming when they're, when they're scheduled during your stay.
Would it have been better if they were scheduled? Yeah, would you have not been?
It would have been nice to know about the visit if I was renting there. It's like, hey, just a heads up, there's going to be some Russian guys coming to fix the sink or whatever they're there for.
Oh, my God.
There's another fraud item. A resident of Colorado Springs reported that she was trying to buy a puppy.
Yeah.
From a woman in unincorporated Breckenridge. Oh, they're so cute. But she still doesn't have the dog. After paying nearly $1,800, we have a call.
I wanted to file a police report or a dispute for some dogs that I had adopted and paid for that they're refusing to do delivery for. Well, I live in Colorado Springs, but the puppies where I adopted them from is in Breckenridge. So we initially called the Colorado Springs Police Department, the non-emergency number. I spoke with a an officer. He mentioned to call Breckenridge since that's where the where the puppies were adopted from. My mom did call earlier. She did speak with a lady that told her for me to call back since I'm the one with the most information.
I see. Okay, so maybe nothing was. So she did not talk to a Summit County officer. Is that correct, your mom?
No.
So did you pay her and then come here to get the puppies?
So I paid her in the form of an Apple gift card. I still have all the gift cards, but I did pay her $300, which she acknowledged in an agreement that she just sent over today.
Imagine that, Tom.
Agreed amount for the adoption. She was going to initially do a delivery.
I just
on
need the number
Friday,
off the back of the gift card.
Of July. And apparently her daughter ended up going into labor, so she was not able to do the delivery. So she ended up giving the puppies to, I guess, a delivery service that she uses.
It's an elaborate detailed scheme.
And they were going to complete the delivery, and we've been having issues since then, since the puppies were given to this delivery service. They're basically holding our dog hostage.
She talks like she still believes it.
We owe $1,500 in pet insurance.
You realize she hasn't realized that she's been scammed.
Prior to them taking delivery of the dog from this woman.
Okay, let me get your name and phone number. I'm going to have an officer give you a phone call.
Yeah, let me put you on hold for just a moment while you can gather your thoughts and figure out that you've been scammed.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? She's telling the story like it's a real, like, the story's real.
It's a long, convoluted story.
She went to labor. Almost, she hired a delivery company.
Yeah, almost believable. God. Wow.
The Apple gift card was
kind of the dead giveaway right there. It's like, yeah, you can just send us the numbers off the gift card. And
so the deputies investigated this, obviously, and the woman obviously is not a real person or a real address here in Summit County. So it got referred right back to Colorado Springs because the only person attached to any of this is in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
And they broke the news to her that you realize the Apple gift card should have been, when someone says, oh, no, I want you to pay, just go to the store, get an Apple gift card, give me the number,
yeah,
I'll send the puppies.
Didn't quite work that way.
There was no woman, no puppies, no labor, no kid, no hospital, no delivery service, none of it.
I like the way it started out. Colorado Springs woman, she called Colorado Springs police. Oh, you're going to have to call Breckenridge police.
Yes.
And
do you love
Breckenridge
that?
Police, oh, that's unincorporated. You got to call the sheriff's department. You can. Yeah, we can. It's like she got bounced around so many times.
And now she's legitimately going to get bounced right back to Colorado Springs when she learns, like, okay, that address and that person doesn't exist here. Therefore, the crime really didn't occur in some County.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's horrible. These frauds are horrible. You and I talk and laugh about them every week, whether it be here on the Justice Files or on the radio, but they're horrible.
Well, and some of the scams get so believable to some people where you're just going to buy right into it, and unfortunately you buy into a scam.
Hey, and who doesn't buy into puppies?
Oh, I know. Right?
Yeah.
Gosh, and there's such a deal on those puppies as well. Just the $300 Apple gift card is all it costs. Let's talk about another fraud item. A Heaty resident up on Green Mountain Reservoir, the sprawling metropolis of Heaty. The resident received a letter claiming to be from the Summit County Assessor's Office. And it said it was a final notice and demanded immediate payment. The resident called the office in, and they were told it was likely a scam. And
I called the assessor's office because I got a final attempt to notify regarding the property at where we live in Heaney, and secured by your current lender. We don't have a lender. And so I know this is spam, but the assessor's office said I might want to report it to the sheriff's office.
Okay. And the letter, what did it say?
Final attempt to notify. This letter, letter is to inform you about an important matter regarding the property at Earthborn, Colorado, secured by your current lender, which is private lender. They don't know who the lender is because there isn't one. We reserve the right to revoke the allocated waiver after 7 days of receiving this notice. Please call right away. And this was our final attempt to notify you at an 800 number, which I'm not calling.
You wish it was your final.
At the bottom of the letter is a looks like as if I was going to cash it, an allocated waiver made out to me for $199. So the record ID on here and then the phone number, I just thought that possibly you guys might want to record this in case a lot of people start getting these spam notices.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get this basic information over to an officer. I'll have them reach out to you by phone, and then they'll tell you how to make a report about it and get your information and stuff, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Reminds me of a letter I got in the mail saying that my car's extended warranty was about to expire, and if I don't renew right now, I could be in danger. Hurry, call this toll-free number and give them this code, and you can
and have
money.
An Apple gift card in your hand ready to give them the number. You know, God bless this woman. I mean, she's one of the sharper ones that identified
Absolutely.
It immediately as a scam, but she wanted to report it. It was a scam. The deputies looked into it, and it was one of these fake vehicle and home warranty companies. What was interesting about this one is that there was complaints nationwide about this company doing these scams all over the country. So it's a little bit more elaborate when they're sending letters, because what do you always hear? We won't call you. We'll send you a letter.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, our company will never call you. So now these fraudsters are getting smart and spending the money and sending letters. Soon there's going to be no safe way to correspond with any company.
Right. Scary.
Yeah, they're going to have to send you a code on your phone and give up the code.
And I never had an extended warranty on my vehicle to start with, so it wasn't in danger.
You're like her. You never had a lender.
Exactly, right.
Oh. God, you people with all the money.
Right. There is a disturbance. Department of Motor Vehicles employees called for assistance when a customer who is known to them to be hostile and aggressive toward them showed up for his scheduled appointment an hour early. And he was stomping around and pacing aggressively outside their door. Have we talked about this guy before? Okay.
So this is the
this sounded
is,
familiar.
This is the one where he said
he's back.
He's back. And we made a joke a few weeks ago about we'll be seeing him in the future.
Right. And here it is, Same a future thing. Episode of the podcast.
He still has not completed his appointment because he can't do it successfully.
Wow.
He can't show up there and just yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and sign whatever the document. Are. He's got to go in there for whatever reason it triggers him. I think the next time we're going to send our smart team, our co-responder team, because he obviously goes into crisis the minute he walks in there.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we've read it before where a deputy's even said, call me first. I'll meet you. I'll walk in with you.
Yeah. He wouldn't do it.
No. He ends up getting thrown out every time. This time he was taken to the sheriff's office because they found out that, again, we run everybody, you know, through the big computer. And this time he had a warrant out from his arrest unrelated to this incident. And so then he went to jail that day. So I'm sure we'll hear about him in a future Justice Files.
Tune in.
And it's not me and Tom just rereading the same stuff that we ran out of stuff to talk about.
But it'll be coming back.
But what does that mean when you can start forecasting, like, oh, hey, I bet we'll see him again.
Yeah.
And here he is.
Future episodes of the Justice Files.
I laughed to myself when I pulled this one. I went, oh, this is going to be funny for Tom. He's going to go, wait a minute. I know this guy.
You never want to miss an episode of the Summit County Justice Files.
Because some of these are just ongoing sagas.
They just keep coming back.
The gift that keeps giving. The Justice Files.
Search and rescue item. Some off-roaders in the area of Radical Hill near Montezuma came upon an abandoned Jeep that had gotten stuck and was left behind. And when they tried to get around the Jeep, they got their vehicle stuck as well.
Imagine.
Good. I was calling about a Jeep that's stuck on Radical Hill by Montezuma that's registered to you.
Yeah, I hope it'll be gone in an hour. We're heading up there now with the Summit Recovery guys.
Okay, you are. Awesome. Yeah, because last night we had another vehicle that tried to come down, ran into your vehicle, and they also got stuck. So just so you know, there's now somebody on the uphill side of you that might be in the way.
Okay, that's interesting. Did they get stuck because of me or themselves?
They got stuck. They basically got to your vehicle and couldn't get around it, and then they tried to back up and got stuck.
Yeah, I can see that happening. It's a narrow spot. It's all gravel.
Yep.
So, I just had that back left tire slide off, and I saw my light flash before me.
Yeah. So is your vehicle broken down, or is it just stuck?
No, it's just stuck.
Okay.
It just needs an anchor point. We couldn't winch it because we didn't have a way to anchor it.
I gotcha. Okay. So was your plan to go in from the top, or what was your guys' plan, kind of?
I'm meeting those guys at Keystone in like 25 minutes, and they have the plan. But now with this information, I'll have to call them.
Okay, why don't you give me a call once you get with those guys on this phone number?
Okay.
And then I can also work with that other group, and maybe I'll just send them up there with you guys, and a plan can be made to get everybody out. It'll take me a while to get over to Keystone, but I'll just start heading that way. But yeah, if you just give me a call back once you talk to those guys, and I'll try to get these other people involved too.
Okay,
all right. Yep, of course. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, see you.
Off-roading adventures.
You know, it's crazy how many people just get their vehicle stuck and leave them.
And just abandon the vehicle.
Yeah, but you got to love the person that goes, I see you're stuck, but
yeah,
I'm not going to get stuck.
Right.
And I try to go around and you get stuck. You know, there's these off-road recovery companies that just must make a ton. I mean, what has it got to cost to pull your friggin' vehicle off the mountain back there?
Yeah, that's not cheap.
Because that's the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a high up 14,000 foot on a mountain, you know, 13,000 feet on a mountain. And they're going to yank you down. That's just crazy. And it's, we talk about it every week. It's all the time, people getting stuck. They think that it's again, like when we talk about backcountry equipment, like skis or snowmobiles,
right?
That equipment is far, far outpacing the people that are operating it. And the people operating are getting perfectly good equipment stuck because they don't have the skills.
You know, I got a business idea for the people at Good Times.
Wait, don't say it on here.
To start a towing company.
Oh.
That's, you know.
You know, the former owner who sold it, you know, in the last year, used to actually help people out and yank people out of there.
Wow.
Out of the goodness of his heart. You know, he'd have his employees do that. But not the new owners up there. They're just like, this is too often.
Yeah.
This happens way
too
often.
It's a regular occurrence. It used to be rare, but now not so much.
Not so much now. Yeah. Not at all.
Well, let's talk about the criminal investigations section, fraud and theft. In March, patrol took a theft report in which the reporting party said that she received several phone calls in a row from a number appearing to be her bank. The fraud occurred with the ruse of her account being compromised.
Yeah, you and I have talked about several of frauds sort of like this, where they take over your computer, they convince you something, or they convince you something's wrong, they give you a number to call, they end up changing your passwords, they end up stealing your money. What's interesting was they also wanted this person's debit card. And you know, this woman said, well, I can't get to the bank. I'm not near the bank. And they said, that's fine. We'll send a courier to pick up the card. And that way we'll expedite this whole thing, and then we'll resolve the issue here. So in the goodness of hearts, she says, great. Courier comes up, picks it up, takes her card. More money is used on the debit card. Luckily, our detectives, you know, like we always say, we rarely are able to track these things down.
Yeah.
But with the use of you know, these flock camera systems that are all over the state, we were able to track down the courier car. And these fraudsters now, these schemes now, and they're involving Uber drivers.
Oh,
so they
really
hire an Uber driver.
Oh, man.
And say, hey, I need you to go to 123 Main Street and pick up a package and bring it to. And so we found the suspect car, but when we found the suspect, the guy's like, hey, man, I'm just an Uber driver. I was paid to go pick up this package and deliver it to some guy on the corner of First and Main that didn't speak English, and he paid me. And his story checked out with Uber. I mean, he really was an Uber driver, and he was not, had nothing to do with the crime. And so, unfortunately, that's where it stopped. But, I mean, it just shows that how elaborate these crimes are getting. The bank, in this case, because of her, obviously, relationship with the bank, made her whole, the victim. But these fraudsters got away with a lot of money. And this is not the first time we've seen where people have engaged Uber drivers, because it's not odd that now that you can have Uber pick up crap for you, you know, at certain places. Like, you know,
Well, it seems to me that Uber has to have a little more,
something.
Yeah, kind of a more stringent screening policy.
Maybe they should have an x-ray machine in the passenger seat of the car.
Right.
They run stuff through the x-ray machine.
Or at least get some background on the person that you're delivering this thing to so you can track them down if it's something that is illegal.
Yeah, you know, I've heard of some of these elaborate, you know, narcotics transportations where they're hiring Uber. An Uber driver has no idea that they're going around delivering dope to customers.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that something? They think they're just delivering packages.
Yeah. We got to get some more screening going on here.
Oh, something. My God. Something's got to happen. Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned the flock cameras helped to solve this one. I just keep seeing stories every week about flock cameras being chopped down, sawing and hacking. And
it's crazy.
Doing what they can to get rid of the flock cameras. And I'm thinking, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
I mean, Big Brother is here. It's been here since 1984. My God, we're all being watched all the time.
It's in your pocket, on your iPhone, in your vehicle navigation. It's everywhere.
You're being tracked.
But unlike those, Flock's not tracking you in real time.
Exactly.
Your iPhone is tracking you in real time. Right. Your car is tracking you in real time.
Yes.
But Flock isn't. Flock is a really useful tool to law enforcement for many reasons. Many reasons. But it is not, you're hearing from the sheriff, it is not real-time surveillance.
Flock is your friend.
Flock is your friend. What the flock?
In February, there was a victim that reported an online crypto scam. This initiated an in-depth investigation, as this included Discord, Telegram, Bitcoin, out-of-state follow-up, search warrants for Venmo, Instagram, and Bancorp. Wow, this got deep.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? So, you know, I bring this up because, you know, it shows you the lengths that our detectives will go to try to solve these. You know, a lot of people think like, oh, fraud, you know, law enforcement doesn't, they just go, we can't really track it. I mean, we do try. And this took a ton of investigation. The basis of this fraud included the suspect being able to day trade through stocks with crypto and meme coins. I had to look up what a meme. Do you know what a meme coin is?
I read about that once upon a time, and I thought, "Oh, this is bullshit."
Yeah, you would.
I dismissed it right away. It's like, come on, you're going to charge me how much for a meme?
Meme coin.
Yeah.
So I learned that meme coins are cryptocurrencies that are inspired by internet jokes,
right?
Viral trends and pop culture. That unlike Bitcoin, they really have no value. That they're used on the speculative trading market. That's all they're good for. Like, people are buying them. They don't realize that there's, unlike, I don't even know if Bitcoin really has value, but anyways, Bitcoin, that there's zero value to them other than the trading aspect. They're like Pokemon cards. Hey, but the good news about this one is, after all that work, like that you just read off, that they did identify a suspect.
Wow.
Out of state, and issued a warrant for his arrest. So we're just waiting for him to be picked up.
Awesome.
It included multiple felonies and a misdemeanor, but with 14 counts in that misdemeanor of different fraud schemes. So it was a great investigation, a lot of work. It's great that there's a warrant out there, but whether we pick this guy up or not, or whether law enforcement encounters him, you know, probably be on a DUI stop like that we read about.
Yeah, right, exactly. Hey, there's a warrant out for his arrest for something totally unrelated. Look at that.
Imagine that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that is a wrap for this week's Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93 here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, sometimes we have a lot of laughter. But just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every criminal case. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases. And remember that all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, well, maybe don't, because it never ends well, and you might just end up as our next feature.
Which will be fun to talk about.
especially if you're a repeat offender.
We'll laugh at you. Until next time, this is the Summit County Justice Files, where law meets laughs, and justice always has the final say. And you can also find the Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website at summitsheriffcolorado.gov. And you can catch up with me and the sheriff on the radio every week, Thursday mornings at about 7:45 on Crystal 93 Radio at 93.9 on your FM radio dial in Summit County, or online at crystal93.com. Stream us, and you can catch up with us. And as always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Oh, my God. Hey, remember FM dials really were?
They
dials.
Did.
They really were.
I know.
When you say FM dial,
it's
like,
it's all buttons. You're pushing buttons.
Oh, my God. It's digital now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you remember FM dials, raise your wrinkled hand.
That's great. See you next time, Tom.
All right.